Dave, you're muted.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Here we go. UBM on 5/3/2022. And we're all here tonight and we're enjoying the night. And Father, we thank you for bringing us together again, allowing us to meet and have fellowship and find out what it is you want us to discuss. And give you glory and give you praise. At the same time, we come to you with our needs and our concerns, and we know that we're going to be heard when we pray all together for this, because we're the body of Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing us all and allowing us to have this room so we can come in fellowship. And Lord, we bless you most of all, and thank you for blessing us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen. All right. So we'll start out with, does anybody have any prayer needs or concerns right now they want to talk about? Or any testimonies? Got a couple of chats. Hello, everyone. All right. Missy, did you have your hand up? All right, go ahead.
Well, I have a testimony, and there's one that I forgot to share. I was reminded of it. But anyway, earlier today, I went and I rode my bike today. Thank you, Jesus. I was just like, I was going along and I was riding, and I wasn't riding like I normally do. But it was good to be out riding my bike, and I rode it for as long as I usually do. But it's just like I was just like just going along, just moseying along, and like not trying to conquer anything, or and it's just like, boy, thank you, Lord, that I can do this. And it doesn't matter how long I ride for or how fast I ride. There's, your power is made perfect in my weakness. And I would rather than boast or glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ would rest upon me. And when I am weak, then I am strong in him. And I'm like, it's like, Lord, I have no, it's just like the Lord was showing me like areas of, he made me aware of, pride of, of okay, I ride my bike for so long and I ride so many miles and da 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 da, and it's like, Lord, I'm just glad I can ride my bike. And when I ride my, or when I, usually with my normal schedules to walk every day, when I, for the most part, except when I ride my bike or other things keep me, it's just. It's just, thank you, Lord, that, I can walk. It doesn't matter how fast I walk. It doesn't matter, if I, there's just, feeling blessed and no pride attached to what I can do. But thank you, Lord, that your power is made perfect in my weakness. And it was neat. And on another little side note, the last time I rode my bike was like 5 weeks ago, and that was the beginning of this trial with my knee. starting to really get heavy into it. But anyway, and it was funny. I have, when I go ride my bike, I put my, I have my like sunglass case, and I always put a little bit of money in there, and I put my driver's license in there and my keys, and I put them in this little thing I have to attach to the back of my bike that closes up. Anyway, well, the last time I just sat it on top, and I forgot to take it and put it inside and close the drawstring on it. And when I got done riding my bike, I realized it because I went to get it out, and it wasn't in it. It was sitting there on top for a whole hour. It didn't shimmy off. It didn't, you know, I didn't have enough vibration or motion. You know, it's kind of a cloth like top or whatever. But I was like, oh, thank you, Lord, that didn't fall off, and I didn't know it, and I lost it. You know, it's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. So that was something I had forgotten to share about, you know, and when I went to put it in, I it was just like that, it clicked. I had forgotten about it, you know, until then, you know, it's like, oh Lord, I wanted to share that. And then I had forgotten about it, but thank you, Lord, for, that you kept that on there. And it didn't fall off last time I rode my bike. I was like, wow. So Lord's good. Lord's good. I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. And Lord, I just want to pray for all my brothers and sisters that are going through trials, no matter what they are, whether that be in their body or just attacks of the enemy, Lord. Just help us to always keep our focus on you, Lord, not on the problem, but on you, Lord, and know that you're with us, and praise you and thank you, Lord, for our trials, knowing, Lord, that you're getting us through it. You are with us, and we're going to have more of you, Lord, because of it, Lord. If we just keep our eyes on you and don't complain and murmur like the Israelites did in the wilderness, Lord. And Lord, you are a provider always in the good and the bad times, Lord. You're there for us in every aspect and everything. And you are a defender. We are victorious in you, Lord, and you are all that we need, no matter what it is we're going through. And we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Fill our hearts with joy, peace, and rest going through it all. Maybe not stop praising you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I think that was a good prayer, because that's probably what a lot of us are kind of going through. We kind of forget a little bit of that. We're kind of forgetting to look on the Lord, and we're looking at everything else, looking at the problems and things, situations around us. And I know that's what he wants us to do, is get our eyes on him. You're absolutely right. Michael's not here tonight, but he'll be back soon. He had to go to Arkansas, so that's why he's got me on. I'm not really a great host, but I'm an okay host. So, you know, Missy was mentioning a few things there, and I think it's so true, and I welcome everybody to bring this up if they want. I seen myself going through some situations the last few weeks, and I felt like I was getting, you know, emptied out and challenged too much and not doing well, and questioning my faith and all that stuff too. And then the Lord gave me, and I'd have to find it, the rollback, but he gave me that passage where Macy talked about looking at the pole, you know, with a snake on the pole, the people got snake bit, and keeping your eyes on him. And one of the things that happens is that we start getting in a murmuring mode sometimes. You know, we do. We start, you know, getting a little testy about what's happening around us, and we're not taking it so hot well. And it's the Lord trying to draw us through something, of course, but we're still not really going into it with the right attitude. And there are so many reminders of what happens, like Missy mentioned, in Egypt, where the Israelites were going through Egypt. And whenever they murmured, they got in trouble for that. God, you know, he was quick to give them discipline, you know. And what happened when they murmured, I can't remember what the situation was, and I'd have to go back and find it. But when he sent the snakes to bite them, the fiery snakes, and they, you know, went to Moses and they, you know, confessed, hey, we murmured against the Lord, we're sorry. And he says, what do we do? And the Lord, the Lord told Moses to put a snake up so they can look at the fiery serpent, and they got healed for it. And then even today, he gave me the people complaint, and it was Numbers 11. And this was when they were getting tired of the manna. And the verse he gave me was Numbers 11:6. He says, but now our soul is dried away. There's nothing for us all save this manna to look on. And, you know, and we know that manna represents the word of God, represents eating Jesus. And I remember having these thoughts recently, thinking, you know, I need more. It's like I feel like I'm getting dried up with the word a little bit. And like, what am I? Do I need more of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Where am I falling? But it's, you know, we're looking at ourselves rather than the Lord, and relying upon Him for these things. And so I think it's a poignant thing that we kind of talk about a little bit. I mean, Pat mentioned it a little bit too, and it can be frustrating. We're trying to figure this out. And I think it's just, we have to make sure that we recognize who the Lord is and what He can do in our lives, and give Him that reverence of that He is, you know, King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of all creation. He can do all these things. And sometimes we drift away from that. We kind of forget that He has that ability, and that's who He is. And He has to remind us. He reminds us of these things. You know, He did with Israel in the desert when they were going through the wilderness. You know, He was so present and so visually present there, being with them. He didn't give them much of an excuse. For us, we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're given, I think, a lot of grace in that direction. Because if it comes down to the time where we would be separated in the wilderness, you know, I think He would be just like He dealt with Israel in the wilderness. He'll give you a little bit of slack for you to kind of get up to speed and realize, you know, I'm here, I'm your Jehovah Jireh, I'm going to take care of everything you got. But He's going to expect us to walk in that. And if we don't, we would easily see the judgment He did on Israel with those people too, because He's not different. He's still the same God. You know, He wants that body of Christ to be walking in that newness of life, you know. Anyways, that's just what I was thinking a little bit. If somebody else has any thoughts, that's fine. I'd be loving to hear from you. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was wondering if we should pray for Michael, seeing he's on a journey going back to his home.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah. Father God, some sort of emergency probably came up for Michael to go back to his home where he lived. And I pray, Lord, that whatever it be, first of all, that he have traveling mercies and get there safely. And whatever this be, Lord, that it be settled and it would be a great blessing for him and for his family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I think you're next, Ray and June.
Okay. I had a funny experience this weekend. My favorite part in the Bible are the four Gospels, so I tend to go back to that a lot. And I thought, okay, I really need to go somewhere else in the Bible. And I was asking the Lord where I should go. And the only thing that came to me was this interest to know where in the Bible. I knew it was in Psalms, but I didn't know which Psalm, where the Lord says he puts us together in the womb perfectly. So I spent about 10 minutes trying to find that, and I just couldn't find it no matter what I did. And so Ray says to me, can I help you? I'll look through the Bible with you. And I said, no, Ray. I said, I've asked the Lord to give me the Psalm, and he wants me to know where it is, so I don't want you to help me. Another half hour goes by. Again, he's offering his help. No, Ray, no. So I would think, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I believe an hour and a half went by, and I'm getting really frustrated. I said to Ray, this doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't you show me where this Psalm is? And after I said that, I realized the Lord wanted me to read Psalms from the beginning to the end, which I have never, ever done. I have a few Psalms that I love. And outside of that, I really didn't have much interest in Psalms. So that's what I'm doing now. And what I'm getting out of it in particular, there's certain words that are just reiterated over and over. And one of them is trust. And I'm thinking, wow, I guess he wants me to get deep, deep in my spirit, how everything revolves around the Lord as we know. So that's my testimony.
Yeah, that's a good testimony. I'd go with that. Greg wants to know if you found that verse yet.
I also want to know, have you heard of the two boats and the helicopter? But I'll save that for another time, maybe. You get a pat. All right, I'll back out.
It's all yours, Pat.
So I was thinking about, actually, I was really thinking about that scripture in Genesis. I'm going to flip over there real quick. Genesis 1 is actually the creation. Because I've been thinking about this whole process here. And when God created man in Genesis 1:26, so let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish, over the sea, the birds, the sky, the cattle, etc., etc., etc. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them. And so it was, you know, it's talking about mankind there. And he's also... so when you take that creation that God created mankind in male and female, in other words, he created the role of the woman and the role of the man in that same creation. And then over in chapter 2, where he formed man out of the ground, in verse, And then in verse 18, he said, it's not good that man be alone, etc. I'm going to make him a helper suitable for him. And so then in verse 22 or 21, he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, etc. Pulled a rib out of his side, and he fashioned a woman out of that rib. And so there's obviously there is a relationship there of man and woman right there in all those verses. And anyway, I was thinking of that relationship, and I'll express some of the struggles that, you know, I've been having over the, you know, past month or so. And it became, when I came into Christianity, when I found the Lord, I found the Lord before I found religion. Found him, and he led me into the religious system, so to speak. And to say that I was a little bit green behind the ears, I mean, I knew nothing about nothing. And it's like, it seems like I had to learn a lot of stuff. And in, I don't know how I can say this, but I began in the process, and my wife and I, we got married early in our Christian experience. And I know for one that I was coming into a realization of who the Lord was and what it really meant to walk with the Lord, walk in his word, etc. But it has taken a long period of time for me. I don't know if anybody else has the same experience, but and through that process of time, I've learned one thing that I've learned a lot of things, but one of the things that I've learned is that when the Lord takes me through something, it usually starts with opposition in some form in my life, and or mixed with failure or sin or whatever it would be, until I start struggling through it, and either through a process of condemnation or confession or whatever, make it through a process where I start to catch what the Lord is trying to reveal to me. And over a process of time, and when I say a process of time, what I mean is a process of failure and confession and failure and confession and failure and confession, and struggling and that whole process, and until I get the point, until I see it, until I grab it by faith, and then I'm able to overcome it. And I'm sure I'm telling you nothing new. Everybody here has experienced the same thing. But if you were to look at my life from the outside, shall we say, you would probably witness about 95% failure and about 5% success. And I don't spend a lot of time on this excess and move right in, seem to go right into the next string of failure. I may be exaggerating this whole process, but that's kind of sometimes how it feels. Well, I've grown used to the process, I guess you might say, that the Lord takes me through. But I have to say that in my process, in my time of going through this, I'm not sure that being close to me or being in my family or, you know, being in this process with me has been much of a delight. I have to say that the term shipwreck or devastation or comes to mind when I think of that. And so I guess I'm saying this to it might not sound encouraging, but I'm saying this to encourage the women, the wives, the mothers, to pray for their husbands, to pray for their fathers, to pray for, because you have a very unique opportunity to see the real struggles that we husbands and fathers and whatever go through. And sometimes I feel, I don't know if I feel sorry for my family for having to put up with me through these struggles and everything. But I know on one hand, in that verse in 126, Genesis 126, God created us all for the same purpose of coming into a relationship with Him. And if you happen to draw the lot that you are the woman, you are the partner, you are that side of the equation, as opposed to, say, the man who has a whole different side of the equation, that one isn't better than the other. Both are absolutely necessary to form the one. And I guess I'm just thinking that, you know, prayer for each one of us in whatever role that we have is absolutely essential and necessary for each the husband or the wife or the daughter and the father or whatever it would be, whatever relationship you find that God has placed you in. He's placed you there because you're absolutely able to accomplish His plan for your life in that position, shall we say. And so I guess I'm thinking of that scripture in Isaiah, and I'm probably like June here. I'm trying to think of where it's at, but I'll give you the context, and that is something about the pouring out of the Spirit of God, or maybe it was something like that, when God turns the heart of the fathers to the children. And I guess I just feel the need for something, God to do something in me and my family. Whether it starts with me, I don't know. But I feel like there's, you know, in the where we have come up to this point, my family would have hard, you know, good reasons for being very disturbed, or good reasons for being, you know, angry or set aside or whatever it would be, I would say that those reasons are probably well earned. However, God requires of all of us, one of the hardest things that men and women and people can do, and that is forgiveness. To forgive. And if we are stuck in our life and not able to forgive, then there's a block there of some sort that's between us and God, us and the Father. And he wants us to release that, that whatever it is, that anger, that bitterness, or whatever it is, and release it by forgiveness. And that, quite frankly, I believe is the only way that we can go forward. And so I say this, saying this, you know, about myself, probably my family. There's probably a lot of families that are struggling through the same thing, misunderstandings and angers and whatever. But I just feel like I don't know if I need to grab on to God somehow, if I'm missing the point somewhere, or something needs to happen, whether something needs to happen within me in order to change the environment that I'm in, that I'm, you know, have probably caused in many of my struggles or whatever. So I know I'm probably spinning my wheels now, but I'm just throwing what I'm feeling out there, asking for prayer, comments, what everybody would, anybody might be thinking or whatever. I throw it out there. Thank you.
Did you want to comment on that, Andrew, or do you got something else you're going to talk about? Oh, okay. Go ahead, Ben.
I got something else to say. I can't really add anything to that. I'm sorry. I got two things. I got another dream, and I've kind of asked the Lord to help me interpret it, and I've been waiting, but I'm just kind of hoping you guys could help me with that, because you guys are very good at interpreting the last one that I had with the woman in the arcade. Basically, I'm on the water at a cottage that I'm familiar with, that my brother-in-law had brought us to. And my dad was there, and my brother-in-law was there. They were in a separate boat from mine. And I'm sort of paddling with a canoe, and I turn around. And then I know they're in behind me, but then they somehow vanish. And then from the corner of my eye, I see Dad walking past me, walking on the water past me. And he's sort of guiding me and leading me to a fish in the water. And this fish is huge, and it's like a shiny fish. And he just points at it. And then I cast my line to catch it, and then it gets hooked, and I try and reel it in, and then that's where the dream ends. I don't know if I catch the fish or not. That's it. I don't really know how to interpret that.
I'll let the dreamers go after that one. If they have anything. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Actually, my beloved brought this up. But it does say there in Matthew, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And that's what you were doing when your dad showed up. You were following him, you know, and he was showing you where to fish. I was thinking a little bit about you rowing and using a paddle. You were on top of the water, but when we paddle in a boat, we're kind of using maybe our own works. But your dad was walking on the water by faith. Your dad's symbolic of Jesus. That's a really good dream. I believe the Lord's, you know, wow. I wonder if, you know, Lord going to use you as an evangelist. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men.
Glory to God. I also, I'm going to ask for a prayer. To receive tongues, because I've been praying to God to give me the gift of tongues. And I've been very patient with this, but I'm asking everyone, please help me with this, to give me prayer with that. If I could pray right now and you could just kind of be here with me with this. Please, God.
It's easy enough to receive because you've already received it. It's just that now you're going to manifest it because you've already asked for it. The Lord's given it to you, and now you're going to manifest it. That's all we're going to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray with you, and we're going to speak tongues over you. And at the same time, all you have to do is relax and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. Allow whatever comes out of your mouth come out. And this will be the gift that he'll start. And the thing is not to put any mind on it. Just let it come out. And the Lord will speak through you at that point. Okay. So we're going to agree with you and pray for you. And then we're all going to unmute and we'll pray over you with our tongue, with our prayer language too at the same time. And you just know that you received the gift. The first gift is the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the manifestation of that evidence will be the gift of tongues. All right. So, Father, thank you for allowing Ben to come here and just put out his desire and let you know and all of us know that he wants to have that evidence of the Holy Spirit with a gift of speaking in tongues, and it's a wonderful gift. You gave it to all, and you give it to all, and we are going to believe for him right now in the name of Jesus that, Father, you're going to manifest this gift for him right now as we are here. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for answering that prayer. Now all of us are going to speak over you in the name of Jesus in our tongue of prayer language. Tiwa mafamanda, 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 thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Now, all you got to do is just relax whatever comes out, just let it come through. And, even if it's when you got to go into a certain prayer closet, a prayer time, just know that you received the gift. You have received it. And the Lord's going to manifest it. So it's going to happen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name.
Praise God.
Glory to God. That's the other thing. Tell him thank you. Praise and thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name.
Get those arms up in the air. That's what Michael always tells us to do. Yep,
there you go. No holding back. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. It's done.
Yeah, it manifested for me when I was just praising the Lord. And yeah. Just glorifying him. That's when it manifested for me.
Yep.
Amen. Yep. Praise God.
I agree. That's where I think it did it for me too. Just start praising the Lord and then came out.
Hey, Ben, read the chat. There's a little note there from David. So it's there. You're just gonna be start singing in the shower or whatever, and or driving in your car and just praying, and it's just going to flow out of you. You know, it's just going to turn. You're going to go, wow. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'm not sure who was first, Greg or Ray or June. You're pointing at me when you do that, Greg.
I know. I'm sorry. There it's Ray and June. Right, it's Ray and June first.
Okay. I just thought I should share with you, Ben, for me, what it was like, because I would hate for you to be discouraged. As David said, you have the gift. It's just a matter of it manifesting. Many, many years ago, I had gone to a believers conference. And this woman from across the way came running to me. And she said, would you like to speak in prayer language like me? And when she spoke, the only word I caught that she spoke was Mary. And I thought, I don't want any part of this Mary business. So I'm thinking, no, I don't think so. And she left. And that night I was asking the Lord if it was for real. And that's the next day I went through the Bible and I saw the two scriptures that had confirmed that the Lord does give the gift of tongues. So then I asked the Lord for it. I said, I want it. This is of you. For some reason, though, months had gone by. And one night I woke myself up because I was speaking in my prayer language. Now, I believed from day one that I was going to get the gift, but I don't know why it took so long. Bottom line is the gift is within you and you just let the Lord do what he's going to do. That's my thought.
So you were sleeping and you woke yourself up speaking in tongues.
Yes.
That's crazy. praise the Lord. Go ahead, Greg.
All right. Hands and muting are taken care of. I'll just briefly give you my experience of that, but I was going to address the dream a little bit. You know, and I was much, much, much longer in my walk with the Lord than you when I kind of conceded to ask for, you know, to take this, or, you know, someone prayed for me. Nothing happened, by the way. I have a very pragmatic mind, which I expect probably being your father, son, you might have that problem as well. But there I was driving home and two syllables came out. Anyway. That was the start of that for me. The reason I put my hand up was over the dream. And look, I don't have an interpretation, and I don't claim to have that gifting. But this much I would commend you to do. To if you haven't written it down, write it down. Do like Mary, the mother of Jesus, did. Treasure this up in your heart. I don't think she was the only one who did that. And there was a couple of things that came to mind with that, which you probably have, you know, your dad's already mentioned these to you, but I might add a little bit to one of them.
One that, you know, the walking on water bit, you know, we know who walked on water. And two, the same guy actually did send, you know, tell his, you know, one of his number one guys, Peter, to go and catch a particular, you know, and draw up a particular fish. Now, here's the other thing with that. This and this may or may not be relevant, but I'll mention it. The reason that Peter was sent to catch that fish was that Peter was asked by one of the in Capernaum, one of the temple officials, saying, "Doesn't your master pay the temple tax?" And Jesus spoke to Peter and said, basically this, that that, you know, when it comes to taxes, who pays them? You know, the king's sons or the, you know, the rest of the hoi polloi? And the answer is the rest of the hoi polloi. And I am paraphrasing here, by the way. But he said, so that we don't offend them, go and throw a line in the water, and the first fish you draw up, you know, there'll be a, you know, the appropriate coin or coins, a coin in his mouth, and go and pay the temple tax for you and me. Here's the interesting thing about that that I have, you know, read from a source I have faith in, is that in those times, the Jewish people were not allowed to, they weren't allowed to mint coins. And the temple had its own coinage generally. So they had a couple of options as far as coins. One of them was an impure coin as far as the metal content. And the other one was a more pure one that came out of Tyre. And it had actually Moloch's image on it. Moloch was a god, godling of death. and a number of words on it. So what actually happened there when you add that to it was that the temple being what it was at the time was paying its you know, having its taxes paid, which, you know, people had to convert their money to that coin, with a tax that had was marked with death. So Jesus, in paying the temple tax, had the grave, as in the depth, i.e. where Jonah was buried, cough up this tax with its own coinage. Now I don't know if that's relevant to your dream or not, because, you know, as I say, you didn't draw the fish up, but, you know, the main thing I'd say, look, treasure this in your heart, because some of the, you know, things that may be in it may not be for just this moment. I'm out.
You're up, Geneva.
Okay. Hello, everybody. So I got some good news. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We got a house to rent. So praise the Lord. We've been looking for a while, and just so grateful, because there's a bathtub in there. I've wanted a bathtub forever. It is brown and pink, but I will take it. Looks like it's from the 60s, but that does not matter. I am very thankful. but anyways, it's crazy too, because everyone right now is talking about how, like, rent's just insane, and it's insane because you only get like a little apartment. Like, it's just hard to find anything that's, you know, even worth what they're asking for. And so I just started calling a bunch of places, and I just put it in the Lord's hands, and this lady ended up calling me back about something that was totally out of her price range. And so I told her, I was just like, well, I was like, no, we're not gonna be able to do that. I was like, but really what we're looking for is just something simple. And I told her, she goes, well, actually, she's like, I got a 2-bedroom, 2-bath coming available. She's like, and it's actually really big. She was like, it won't be ready till July. Well, praise God, our lease here where we're at now runs up June 24th. And I talked to my landlord, and she said she'll let us stay until the date in July, which is kind of like the beginning, I think, is when the people in the new house is going to move out. And so it just worked out perfectly. And anyway, so it's only $100 more for what we pay here, or for the, yeah, than what we pay here. and it's 1600 square feet, which I was like blown away by, because I'm pretty sure we live in like 500 square feet. You know, not that I'm complaining. It's just a little rough when you got a little one and a dog and blah, blah, blah. But anyways, I just want to thank God, because I will be so thankful to have some space and be able to take a bath. And when people ask me what I'm doing on the weekends, I'm going to say I am taking a bath. But anyways, yeah. So anyways, I just want to thank you all for the prayers, and me and Morgan are pretty happy. Oh, also another big one, prayer, because Morgan got a call from a recruiter about a potential job, doing electrical work that he, like, his resume fits perfectly. So they said they'll call back tomorrow and, you know, hopefully get an interview set up. So in Jesus' name, I, you know, thank you, God, that if it's your will, that's going to work out, Lord. And thank you, Father, for putting his degree to use. And Jesus, just thank you for blessing our family and blessing everyone's family on this ministry. And thank you for always being faithful. And Lord, just thank you for your mercy, even when I've been not content. And I thank you, God, for still loving me and showing me what you can do. And we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good testimony. Nice to see that you're getting a bigger place. And thank you, Father, for answering that prayer, that Morgan's going to do well and he's going to get that job. That sounds like a fit for him. Thank you, Lord, for coming through for that, making everybody happy. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Oh, is that Isaac or Mariana?
Hey, Dave, it's Isaac.
Yeah, Isaac.
Hey, man. Hey, bear with me as I'm driving. Just jumping back to Ben's dream. I got a question for Ben real quick. Your brother-in-law, I think you said brother-in-law. At the point you seen your dad walking on the water, where was your brother-in-law? Do you know? I want to ask. Go ahead.
Kind of like in the corner of my eye, but like I was kind of like rowing past him, but he wasn't really there after Dad started walking forward.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool, man. And your dad was walking on the water at that point.
Yeah, I was more focused on my dad walking on water.
Okay, and I don't know. I might be wrong in this regard, but sometimes, like, I've had dreams of, like, my in-laws, and hence the word in-laws, you know, in my dreams. And they've always represented something, and this is for me, so this may not be for you, because I don't really know what he was doing in your dream. But it was important your dad was on the walk on the water, because sometimes they're brothers. Even though they're brothers, but they're in the law, right? So I'm always trying to, the Lord's always showing me to pay attention to that. Now, and then Greg said something that was a really good point about the coin in the fish's mouth. And I'm trying to remember this best I can. You know, that was also a temple tax / tithe, and they had to do it yearly. And that's the thing is, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. From whom do kings receive toll or tribute? From sons or from strangers? And Peter said from strangers. And Jesus said, and therefore the sons are free. Now, you know, I won't go too much into this, but he who the son set free is free indeed, right? And that has to do with the law, has to do with everything. I'm sure your dad's talked to you a lot about that. You probably already understand it, so I'll let that be. But, you know, your dad's walking on the water in freedom. Freedom, like Paul said, is, you know, one person does one part of the law, is there to keep the whole law, right? So I don't want to go too far in that. I don't want to get astray here. But I want to suggest this. Something the Lord showed me, if you get a moment, Ben, maybe read John chapter 6. Man, that is such a deep chapter right there. And I read it last week, and I read it again, and I was reading this week, and me and the wife, we read it again together, just I think it was yesterday. And the Lord was just like giving us awesome revelation. And that's where Jesus is actually walking on the water. And if you think about it, what happens is it was, if you read in John chapter 6, like I say, I'm paraphrasing here, he goes on to say, it was evening, talking about darkness falling upon the world, hadn't yet came. And then a few verses later, it says, then it was dark. Darkness was upon, you know, upon the earth, the tribulation. Notice Jesus was walking on the water, walking upon the judgment of the world, right? Because as the waters in the Noah's days, the judgments that covered the earth. And here's the revelation the Lord gave me. And I, you know, bearing with me. You remember in Isaiah 54, Jesus goes on to quote that in John 6. and he quotes it. But if you read Isaiah 54, I think around verse 9 through 13, he says he will no more cause the earth or the waters to overflow the earth. And that's true because Jesus is the rock, and the water is not going to cover the rock, right? Because that's Jesus. And so Jesus is walking on the water. Your dad's walking on the water because it's Christ that lives in him and, you know, teaching how to fish. That's something the Lord showed me. Maybe read John 6. There's a lot of awesome parallels there, but it was cool because once the apostles, they, if you read it, they said they received Jesus in his boat and straightway they were at land, right? Like it says straightway. Now the other people that took the boat, they didn't receive Jesus in their boat, right? And by their works, they had to go find Jesus. And then Jesus said, you know, you search me because you look for food, right? Anyways, I'll let that be, but there's such awesome revelation there in John 6. But man, I've had dreams where I've been catching fish like yet too, or, you know, attempting to catch fish just like you're saying. And that is such a good dream to have, man. And God bless you, man. And you know, you're just on a great, you know, the Lord's taking you on a wonderful walk, and you know, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Isaac.
Go ahead, Julie.
Andrew, back to your dream. Didn't you say that your dad's there walking on the water and he's the one that points the fish out to you?
Yeah, like points his finger right at him.
And it was a big, shiny fish?
Big, shiny fish, like a big bass.
Like I said, was it towards the surface of the water?
Yes.
Okay. So something that was easily seen. So I just think, you know, you just keep listening to the Lord. Keep your, he's just going to bring, he's going to make it easy for you to see. He's going to make it easy for you to see.
We did.
I was just wondering if you're, okay. I'm sorry, Andrew, what?
we did go a couple of years ago to my son-in-law's parents' place, and that's where the lake is. We went fishing there.
It was actually in the same spot where I caught that huge one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I would ask the Lord to give you, keep, you know, showing you, write it down. Because sometimes, yeah, like other people who have dreams, you know, the Lord will show you things later. He may not give you everything at once, but then something else will, another dream or something, or he'll show you something, something else about it. He'll start revealing things more about it. Anyhow, that was good. Thanks for sharing.
Amen. It was a good dream. It sounded like a lot of people got a lot of things to think about when they heard you say that. So it brought a lot of scripture out. Let's get back to Pat for a minute. You know, Pat, I can relate to what you're saying, being a father and feeling like maybe there were some things that were not, that were missed during their childhood years. And it'd be nice to have a way to relive that sometimes, to, you know, make up for what maybe might've been lost during those years, especially because what happens with men, and I don't know if it's a good thing or fathers, is they get into the mode where they got to make a living so they can support the family. You know, and that making a living takes up a lot of time. So that kind of takes away from our ability to be the personable dad we'd like to have been, you know, the loving dad, or have every moment in our life around our kids that we could cherish. And so we sometimes dads feel like they kind of missed out, you know, on some things and opportunities and like that. So we can pray about that. Let's just pray about them. Father, you know, many of us here are fathers, and we've had children, and we've maybe missed out on some opportunities in life with our kids because we were busy working or whatever and got distracted and didn't really spend the time that we wanted to spend, the quality time we thought they would we needed with them, and it would have been nice. But Lord, we're going to trust you that you're going to allow this time in our lives still to be fruitful with our children, so we can still manifest great relationships, and we can have that loving and affectionate life that we've always desired with our children, even more so. And whatever you think wherever we feel like we've missed out on, Lord, we're going to look to you in order to fulfill what it is we need to make that complete. And we're going to look to you, Lord, to grant this in our families, to grant this, what would be basically your presence, Father, your presence of your love and your spirit coming through all of our family members and all of us, to have us grow up and become this loving family that we have this image in our minds that we want to have. And allow this to happen, Lord, to give us that blessing, not only just immediate families, but even distant relatives, even brothers or sisters we maybe haven't not seen in a while, or there's difficulties there. Lord, we want to just bring everybody in. We want to have everybody included. Maybe even we still have our own fathers and mothers living. We want to bring them and have that closeness with them too. So, Lord, we're coming to you, and we're praying that you make this happen in our lives, because we know if we put our faith in you and look to you, all these things are possible. And we give you the glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ for that, Father. Amen. Go ahead, Ray.
It's June this time. Totally agree with the prayer. Beautiful prayer. I want to add on to that. Pat, you come across as a very intellectual person. And my understanding is that the enemy is using that against you big time. It seems like you're questioning if you're good enough, if you're pleasing the Lord enough. It seems to come, at least to me, it comes across that way very strongly. And the bottom line is, we are to have a perfect heart towards God, but we're not going to be perfect. Only God is perfect. We are human beings in a physical realm. And I think about the Lord. Do you realize that even when he healed people, it was one at a time? When the woman touched his garment, he felt the power leaving him. We can't be God. But the perfect heart, I perceive, is where you're at. I pray that's the case for you, for all of us, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead.
For the last few months, I've been reading carefully the healing ministry of Jesus, and also came across an individual called the Praying Medic. I'm not sure if you know of him or not. But he has a healing ministry, and he has videos he does on this subject. But he's been, to me, very precise in how he looks to Jesus to be the healer. And he goes through through the course of time to talk about various healings that Jesus has done, casting out demons, almost every miracle he's ever done, he brings up in one shape, in some shape or form. And over the course of the months and listening to him and reading, there's an emotional healing that often is needed before physical healing takes place. And then emotional healing is needed because of the experiences that we've had from childhood to through adult, and various things that have affected us and formed us. And in each and every case, when there's an issue that needs to be addressed, whether it be a door that's been opened for demonic, or a hurt that we have, or anger that we have, or bitterness, or something against us even, that in each and every case, we call upon the blood of Jesus to remedy that, because that's where the power is. It's not with us. It's not with our thinking. It's not with our abilities to understand. It's our faith just to say, cleanse me, change this condition, change my heart, and allow me to move forward. It's not going to change the circumstance that had occurred that may have created or opened the door for some pain, but it's to heal us so that we can move forward with the knowledge that that has been our past, but not our future. Praying Medic is someone I would encourage to look on. He's on Rumble. He's various places. He has his own website too. His name is Dave Hayes, by the way, but Praying Medic is what he goes by. And he really has some really awesome insight into healing of all at all levels. That's what I want to share. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. I think some of us will probably look that up and see what he's got to say. Absolutely. No, I think you're right. There's a lot of things that sometimes we hold ourselves back by what we're feeling or thinking. Absolutely. And you end up going in a circle or not getting out of this thing and just kind of go back through the treadmill some more, you know. May not be exactly the same path, but it's still what's lingering there, holding us back, maybe. Yeah. And you're right. I think we may not always have to know exactly what it is. We can just ask Jesus by his blood to come in here and take it away and heal us and cleanse us and make us whole, renew us, you know. Absolutely. Do that now. Father, in the name of Jesus, if there's anything in our minds or our past and our feelings or whatever it was in our lives that is hindering us, holding us back, not allowing us to come in that fullness of Jesus and the happiness and the joy of our life, of you, knowing you and having that fullness, Father, from the Holy Spirit, you being in us, whatever that is, Lord, we want to apply the blood of Christ on that right now. And we want to say, go in the name of Jesus Christ. And we want to say, no more hindrances. We want them to be dealt with, Lord, because we may not know how to deal with it. We just know that maybe there's just something here and we don't quite understand it. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we put that blood on that. And we count on you to make us whole. because we know that's what your blood, your sacrifice does. And we know that's what you came to do. Make us whole in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for that blood on our lives. Amen. Well, does somebody else have something else we could talk about here? Any other things that came up in people's lives or verses or Nita, looks like you raised your hand. I must have missed it. There it is. There you are.
I just did it, so you're right on top of it, Dave. Right. I just, this morning I got, was reading Isaiah 54, and so it was just encouraging to me as I pray for my parents and for friends and family that, and, you know, my church that I used to go to, all these people that I know that are Christian or but aren't following the same Jesus I am. It was just encouraging to me. So I just wanted to read a couple of verses from it. And maybe, I don't know, I think I'm interpreting it right. So I'll just tell you what I understood and just ask if there's some mistake that I'm making in it. But it starts out, I'm reading in the NET version. I can, yeah, so shout for joy, O barren one who has not given birth. Give a joyful shout and cry out, you who have not been in labor. So I'll stop right there for a question for you guys, because when I read that, I remembered something that David had said about, you know, O barren one who has not given birth. And that meant that they hadn't borne any fruit. And they'd not been in labor. So, you know, it just made me think of the apostate church that isn't bearing fruit right now, but to shout for joy, because as it goes on, there's good news for them. So moving on, for the children of the desolate one are more numerous than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Make your tent larger, stretch your tent curtains further out, spare no effort, lengthen your ropes, and pound your stakes deep, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your children will conquer nations and will resettle desolate cities. Don't be afraid, for you will not be put to shame. Don't be intimidated, for you will not be humiliated. You will forget about the shame you experienced in your youth. You will no longer remember the disgrace of your abandonment. For your husband is the one who made you, the Lord who commands armies in his name. So just even that much, I don't know if I'm not interpreting it right, but, you know, just things are going to change. And here all these things that are going on in our lives right now with Biden in there, and, you know, we keep wanting to speak the truth, but it feels like they're not listening, or they, you know, they've got these spirits that keep them from understanding what we're saying. And, you know, you just kind of want to keep it to yourself almost, because they can't take it. And so, you know, here he's saying, you know, things are going to turn around and you won't be humiliated. And, so just spread out your tents and be ready. Here it comes. So it was just, to me, it was just like an encouragement that all these people that we pray for, the apostate part of the elect, is going to come in and things are going to change. So hopefully that's what it's saying. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I like what you said. I really do. I think it's on target in a lot of things. I really do. Go ahead, Pat.
I do too. I agree with of that. I have another little twist that I think that the Lord gave me a while back, and that is, if you think of Abraham and Sarah and realize that Sarah was barren all of her life, or the majority, obviously the majority of her life. And God gave Abraham the promise of the nation of Israel through his loins. And so I kind of applied it to Sarah and Abraham, who had that promise within them, and it was waiting to get out, and they were excited. You know, they wanted it to come out. As a matter of fact, they wanted it so bad that they took the way of the flesh to try to produce it. And but there was a point in time when God's promise of was going to be fulfilled, but it was on God's timing, and it was according to faith. And sometimes it feels like that God's doing something in you, and it's building, and it's in. I know everybody can relate to this, that, you know, you're ready to go, but God is still working the process in your life. He's still, and it's like that that birth that is, that instead of 9 months, it's 99 months or something. It just keeps going, and you're just, Lord, we are ready. We see it. We're ready for it, Lord. We're ready for that grace and that spirit to be poured out and the work to begin, etc. But he continues on, and it's longer and longer, and it just seems like that it's God's timing and God's working in us just as much as he's preparing the work ahead of us. I guess I might say, and then when it is the time, when God's timing is right and the environment is right and people start coming in, you will have been prepared for the work that is required, I guess you might say. And that's why he says, enlarge your tent. In other words, make it bigger than what you really think that you can handle. Make it as big as you want, because I'm going to fill it. And you're going to have so much work and so much fruit on your hands, you're not going to know what to do. And so so that's kind of probably goes in the same lines that you're talking about, Vanita. But I guess I'm seeing it more in terms of those that God is bringing through the process of sanctification and perfection, or the man child and the bride and this whole process, there's an inner working and an inner thing that is happening there, and a growing and a maturing and a process that's taking place. And quite frankly, there's probably not a lot of people that are just jumping in the boat, ready to go for this. Yeah, give me some of that. I want some of that. You know, because there's a lot of learning, a lot of toil sometimes, and through the process. And so, I don't know, I guess that's just kind of what I'm thinking through the process, that God is going to pour his spirit out, and there's going to be, you know, the fields are white unto harvest, and they're going to come flying in, and God is preparing his people to be able to handle that deluge of fruit that comes flying in. So anyway, that's what I was thinking.
I remember once David made a statement in one of his teachings about, well, mom, keep feeding that baby, mom. Keep feeding that baby, a growing baby inside of you. And so, you know, I think a lot of us probably could look at ourselves or look at our lives or look at the fruit we got and think, you know, I just don't think I got enough. I just don't think it's there yet. I know there's more and I don't have it. I want more, but I don't have it. I don't have what I want, what I think I should have. And I think the Lord knows that too. And I think we both feel that there's just not what I need, what I should have. And this passage, this Isaiah is saying, hey, wait, woof. Shout for joy, you that are barren. You don't have any children. Shout for joy. Because you're going to have all that you want. Like Pat was saying, like you're saying, Benita, it's going to come. And I think that's where our mind has to be. Our mind has to be on the faith of it coming, like Pat's mentioning with Abraham and Sarah, on the faith of it, and not getting distracted with what we see visually, but understanding what the Lord's going to do in our for us. And on, we realize it too, that when Isaac was born, neither Abraham or Sarah were able to do that at that point in their lives. God had to wait until they could not do anything themselves about creating this fruit. And I think that's also for us, the same message. You know, I'm going to wait until you're finally done, and then I'm just going to fill you up. I'm going to do it for you. And you're going to think, wow, wow. You're just going to be blown away with what the Lord's going to do, because he's going to do it so that we can't get the credit about how hard we worked to make this thing work. And we got this going. And Lord, I was, you know, but our job is just keep feeding that baby and just walking by faith until the Lord makes it happen. Yeah, I think you're right. There we go. That's a good encouraging. That's a good encouraging verse. Good encouraging message for today. For us right today, right now. Does everybody else feel like they're all filled up, got all the fruit they need, or they want more? I know I need more. I need a lot more. I think I need a whole new tree. I need something just going to be, you know, this big, you know. Right now, I think mine's still just barely coming out of the ground. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for being faithful, being so wonderful to us, and giving these examples. God, without these encouraging examples, we would just give up. But thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father. Amen. That was good, Benita. Thank you.
Praise the Lord for the verse.
Okay, what's next? Carol, go ahead.
Testing, testing. Can you hear me?
Yep, sounds like you're from Canada.
I mean, bubbles. I don't know why I feel like bubbles tonight. So listen, I have a praise report. I don't know how it fits in all this, but praise is always good. So I won't try to make it fit. I'll just say the praise. My father, we've been praying for him. And maybe it does fit with everything we're talking about tonight. And He is 87 and he's fully recovered from COVID. And but more than that now, you guys, he called me today. And the spirit of manipulation and the spirit of depression has completely left him. He was like, I just wanted to call you, daughter, to say thank you so much. You've taken such good care of me. I said, well, it's Jesus. He goes, yeah, I know, but he's so amazing. He says, I'm in such a good mood. He's like super, like crazy hyper, like I can tend to be. I was like, wow, I must have fallen off that tree. It's the same tree. It's branched back to Jesus. And I was like, and then he's like, and all my neighbors are saying, George, what has happened to you? You know, something's different in your voice. He goes, I don't know. I'm just in a good mood. Something is happening. And then he just says, and they tell me I can't stop talking. I go, oh my God, we're so alike, Dad. I didn't realize how much we were alike when we're connected to Jesus. Anyway, so he's so freaking happy, guys. So I don't know if Michael is connected tonight, but really seriously, that's what I want to say. But I want to connect with that, the part that I was petrified to go there when he had COVID, and I went out of obedience, and I went not sure I was going to be able to be of faith, and so I called Michael just before, and I think Michael and David had prayed for me, and it was like a 2-minute prayer, guys, but it was a mind-blowing experience since then. I walked in there and then there was a moment of a manifestation when I dared to lay hands on my father, and I did get scared, but I stood my ground, and then I left that day thinking maybe I had failed. Well, nope, because when God told me to go back, which I did, because my father was going back downhill again, he says, you're going to go back, you're going to bring that little horse treatment, and we can talk about that later, but that's ivermectin. And you're going to bring all those little vitamins, and you're just going to go lay hands on him again. And I did. But this time I went in without the mask. I went in with faith, and I went in without fear. And the fruit is there. So I think that's all I have to say. So let's just keep praying for each other. It's working. God is awesome. And we need to hear it. So, and Ben, yeah, there's going to be a big fish for you. And that's how I see it, too. I see, wow, it can't be more clear than that. He's totally directing you. It's awesome. So keep following, keep listening to him. And, you know, don't be afraid, and you'll be walking on water with him in no time. And you can practice tongues with, I don't know if you have a pet, but I pray in tongues to my dog, and my dog loves it, absolutely loves it. So go fit. He turns around, belly up, like, you know, mama, keep on doing whatever you're doing, because I like that spirit. In Jesus' name. Signing out while still here, but I'm muting now. Bless you.
Wow. That's great news, Carol. Thank you. Awesome that your father's doing so well. Does he have any interest in reading the Bible at all?
No, but I did practice. You kind of reminded me of that on Saturday, and I do plug it here and there, which is, you know, to say to him, you know, Dad, you have the right to reject that thought. Don't accept that depression. If it tries to come back, you just, he says,
I think you lost you.
One, two, one, two. One, two, one, two.
There you go.
Sing,
I heard
sing,
you
sing.
Singing.
Hallelujah. Open the door, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Unblock this line. Yahoo. Yep. My connection is unstable. La, 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 la. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, you are so good. Anyway, yes, so I've been reminding my father that he can reject the depression if it tries to come back. You can chop his little head off, Dad, knock him off the building, and kick him out of the house. And he loves it. I don't know if he understands it yet, but he's starting to get it. So praise God. And I tell him, Jesus is not on the cross anymore, Dad, because he has that crucifix in the house.
Amen. That's very true. I did listen to a guy this weekend a little bit. He's kind of a little bit into the watches the dark side a little bit. But he did mention, and he's got a video on, and I not that I recommend to go find him, but he did, and it's a very, very true that Satan is a whisperer. He's the whispering God. And, you know, a lot of the things that go through your head that he's pushing in there, it's subtle, it's hissing, it's very seductive, and it is a spell, in a sense. It is a witchcraft spell that he does. He gets you listening, and that's part of his way he works his way into your mind. And our job is by putting the God, Word of God, in our hearts and in our minds, knowing to reject those things, like you said, because if we don't, we allow those thoughts to come in and we're getting carried away with what he's trying to whisper inside of our minds. So
yeah, and we come into agreement with that, and then it becomes a knot, right? So yeah, we have to absolutely continue to pray for each other, ask God to reveal, you know, what am I coming into agreement with? What is this? And I think I told you guys last week, I've been quiet because I've been going through big shifts, right? Obviously, whenever I step up to help God, I go through some other type of battle, I guess. But what I did say to God this weekend, because it hit me again really hard, right? And I just lifted my arms to him. I didn't want to try to analyze it because I don't understand it. And I said, you know what, God, do bypass surgery on me. I do not want to have this heaviness hit me. And he put me out all day Saturday, woke me up just on time to join you guys. And then I thought I'd be done by then, but Sunday he did the same thing. I had enough time to get up, have breakfast, do my prayer, walk my dog. And then he put me out for 4 solid hours, but I felt the deep touch of the Lord. That's the bottom line. It's like spiritual surgery. He has to bypass my mind and, you know, bypass parts of my heart. And then I just felt like he was just doing his thing, like weaving in there and just pulling out what doesn't belong there. And I gave him permission. I said, just go get it. I don't need to understand it. Just cleanse the deepest part. And I think for me, it probably is like a deep root of rejection, right? Which opens up all kinds of doors and fear and stuff like that. And anyway, so it was amazing. And it's scary because we don't quite understand sometimes what he's doing, but when we connect back to the fact that he does love us, knowing the Father's love. And I liked what Michael said last week. He says, you know, the prayer is to ask, you know, the Father in the name of Jesus. And something about that really connected deep for me, to go right to the Father, right to the Father. I need the Father's love to come deep in my heart, where this rejection keeps flipping me upside down and trying to push me back into a corner. And when I tap into that, it's amazing. I went to go pick up I'm so sorry, I'm talking a lot, forgive me. I just went to go pick up my check at my work office. I work from home, right, since 2020. And it was the first time I went out. I've been inside so much. And as I went there, I had just been set free. God just lifted all this up. And I stopped to talk to everybody on the street. It was so funny. I just kept saying, hi, God bless you. Isn't this a beautiful day? I was going, oh my God, they must think I'm a freak. But no. Last week. So amen, amen, amen.
Dave, you're muted.
I'm doing Michael's thing. Thank you. Bless you, Carol. Bless you. We agree with you in the name of Jesus that rejection has no right to be in your heart or in your mind. We cast that spirit off. We're with you on that 100%. Thank you, Father. And thank you for reminding us and letting us know when that trying to come on, it has no authority. Thank you, Father. Amen. Go ahead, David.
Hey everyone, it's me.
Oh, hi, Alina.
I have a prayer request. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Adelina has been, for the past 2 days, just having a really high temperature and other signs, symptoms of like sickness, but like at the same time, not like just anyway, I don't want to go into too much detail because I don't want to speak the bad report. You know, we're believing that she's healed and, just
yeah, you can tell us all the symptoms and we'll pray them off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So like she, so she has just a high temperature. She complete lack of appetite and, just not really happy, not her happy self. And she's always tired. Those are all the symptoms, but like, I also just want to, confess that I have been letting fear attack me. Like so many times I've considered giving her Tylenol and so many times, like, I'll let the thoughts of what if come in and then like, and then I'll realize what I'm doing and I'll cast him down. But I do want to confess that, David and I have been reading the book Delivered from Dark Powers. And I feel like this is just a trial and we want to overcome it, you know, faithfully. And, so I'm just going to pray. And then if you all can agree, and if anyone has any prayers, that would be so great. Heavenly Father, I praise you and I thank you, Lord. I thank you so much for these trials, Lord, because, Lord, they are what perfects us and what burns all the wood, hay, and stubble, and they are what draws closer to you, Father. So I thank you so much for them, Lord, because I know you're using this, Father, and I know you're in control of all and you are sovereign, God. And I praise you so much for that, Lord. Yeah, this is an attack, but you're allowing it, Lord, for a reason. And I thank you for that, Father. And Lord, I just want to go through this and learn what you want me to learn, Father. And for you to do your will in me, Lord, and through this, Father, and let me overcome, Lord. I repent of the fear that had come on to me, Lord, and all those doubting thoughts. I repent of all double-mindedness, Father. And I cast it all down in the name of Jesus. You go now, fear, you leave. Anxiety, leave now in the name of Jesus. All double-mindedness, you leave now in the mighty name of Jesus. I am standing on your promises, Father. I know that we are not under the curse, that we are covered by the blood of Jesus, and our daughters are covered by the blood of Christ. And so I thank you, Lord. I thank you that this is simply a trial and all these symptoms are lies. She is healed. She is delivered. And I praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. I agree with you 100%, Adelina. Alina. Okay, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer. And Adelina, we cast off this temperature now in the name of Jesus Christ. You got to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever ailment is coming on you, you have no authority to be there in the name of Jesus Christ. We, Lord, thank you for giving her back her appetite and giving her back her normal self so that she's not tired and that she doesn't she doesn't want to be displaced in any way. She just comes back to being her normal happy self. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer and for this lovely child and granting us all that we've asked in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We claim the blood on the Lalina. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Julie.
Amen.
Yes, God. Praise the Lord. And Father, I lift up David and Lena to you, Father, and I pray blessings upon them, that you give them grace and wisdom and discernment. You give us, just give them encouragement, strength, boldness, courage against the enemy, because they're under our feet, every last one of them. I thank you, Lord, that they're getting stronger. They're getting better at using the tools you've given them, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for these trials. We're to praise you and thank you in all things, because you said this is the will of God to do so. So we praise you and thank you in all things, Lord, for these trials. We thank you, God, that every promise and everything that Alina just confessed, Lord, it's done. And the prayers that Dave just spoke, it's done. And we thank you, Lord, that this infirmity and every last one of these symptoms is already gone from her body, because it was finished at the cross. And it's not going to move around. It's not going to jump around. It's not going to go from Adelina to Abigail or anybody else. It's gone out of that house in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that even before she goes down to sleep tonight, that she's already going to be asking Mom for something to eat. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for healing her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Father.
You can all raise our hands and say, thank you, Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All righty. Always time for prayer. Always time for prayer. You know, the other day I was chewing on something. I don't know what it was. And I wasn't doing nothing physically hard. All of a sudden, my right side of my jaw just felt it like it hurt. You know, right around under my ear and everything. And then I couldn't chew hardly at all anymore on my right side. And I thought, wow, that's strange. And then the next thought was, well, you know, if you walk by faith, you can cast that away in the name of Jesus, and it's got to go. And oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, you go. I don't care what it is, what the problem was. I don't understand it. It's just there. But you got to go in the name of Jesus. And I just left it at that. And just, even though I might have felt pain, I just thought, nope, you're not there. I don't agree with it. You're going to be gone. Today, you know, that was the other day, and it felt like it wasn't going to go away real quick. One of those, like, oh, you just did something. It's not good. Today, it's fine. Today, it's fine. And there's no problem at all. So, and I think we've got some great testimonies from David and Michael and everybody else here that we know we just stand on our faith until we see the promise come through. Even Missy with her knee. Look at the promises. Standing on faith. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I don't know. My room's kind of quiet now. How about yours? Go ahead, Pat.
I don't know. Does anybody feel like sharing their testimony about when they came to the Lord? Because I know for one, I love to hear people talk about, you know, their experience and how the Lord brought them out of darkness and made the transition over into light. And it's just, to me, it's always exciting. I never tire of listening to people, but so I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I would encourage you that if you if the Lord throws it on your heart or something, to share it, because share it with us anyway, because I haven't heard, you know, anyone else's story for the most part, or testimony of what the Lord's done in their life. So I just, you know, toss it out there for thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I've talked a lot, so have others. So if anybody else that doesn't talk much wants to talk now, and just whatever they want to share, it'd be fine.
Maybe we should go alphabetically.
I thought I'd just call people's names.
Let's start with Vanita V.
Since when is that at the beginning of the alphabet, Carol?
Since tonight. Hey, what?
Got to make it quick. We've only got, okay, 9 minutes, right? Or 11, I guess I counted wrong. Okay, I'll share mine. oh boy, let me see. So I was raised Hindu, and I was born in India, came to America when I was 3, raised in a Hindu family, and did a lot of going to the temple and learning pujas and chants and all that. And I knew them all. So grew up that way. And then I met Frank when I worked at Buick. We both worked there out of college. And so somehow, yeah, we just got to be really good friends. And then we got married, and he was Baptist. But he actually just got baptized right before we got married. He got baptized. And so I did attend his baptism at his church, but I wasn't saved. But I don't know, we got married still. And, I obviously knew about Jesus, and I'd heard about him, and but we didn't really go to church at all. I don't know, we were just both, I guess, busy in our careers, and then we had kids and both got our master's degree, and we were just busy, and it wasn't like a priority to him. And I was still living my Hindu life, raising my kids that way, teaching them the songs and doing pujas with them still, because that's what I knew. So still did all that. And I would make Frank come to my mom and dad's house to do pujas with us. And he didn't feel comfortable at all, which, you know, at that point I was like, oh, come on, just come with us, you know. Maybe, you know, you got to see the other parts of life and other parts of culture and stuff. And so I made him come, and poor guy, now looking back, you know, you realize what you put him through. But he came, and, you know, we would sing pujas in the car, me and my kids, and that was crazy. So, but he put up with all that. He kept very quiet about it, didn't really say much about any of it. And I don't know. So we went, you know, 15 years of marriage like that. And then I, oh boy, what happened? Our neighbors at the house that we lived in, he went to seminary and decided to start a church. And so they were right next door to us. And it was a Baptist church, and we're like, oh, okay, well, let's just go there. We'll try that. So, you know, we started going to the Baptist church, and it was just in a house and just a few of us, and started learning and listening and started reading, trying to understand. And, I guess I felt like I could believe in Jesus, but also other gods. Like, I believed in all, they were all part of one God, that whole system that, you know, when you don't really know the truth, you just think everything's part of the same thing. And so I just kept kind of parallel paths of Jesus and everything else. Frank ended up leaving. We both worked at General Motors. He ended up leaving General Motors to start his own construction company. And then I remember thinking then, I was like, okay, we're set. I'm still at GM and I love my job and we'll be good. And then I think it was like 2 years later, they offered a buyout, and I never thought I'd take it, but I took it. And so here he's not at GM, and now I'm not at GM. and he had started having his trigeminal neuralgia pain in his head. So severe pains in his head at that time. And so I had left GM to start my own business, and he was having all these pains. So he was having trouble doing his business, but he kept doing it. I don't know, it was very very, very rough time. We had built this beautiful home, and so now we both don't have jobs at GM, and he's having all this pain and having all these brain surgeries, and I'm trying to keep things going. And it was, and then at the same time, we're going to church and I'm learning about church. And this lady that I hired to work for me went to our church, and she was trying to explain to me about Jesus. And I was trying to explain to her how closed-minded she was and how unfair it was that, you know, it's like all these people in India that I know don't know anything about Jesus. They've never heard of Jesus. They have no opportunity to hear of Jesus. How is that even fair? This isn't fair. And I was kind of stuck on the fair thing. And she just kept talking to me, and I kept, you know, because I was going to church, I kept reading the Bible and trying to understand, and just, you know, kind of going back and forth, and it still wouldn't click. And then in 2005, my family went to India. So it was me and my two kids. They were really little, and my mom and dad went. And we went to India, and I was kind of getting it at that point. I was kind of almost there. And then I was on the train with my dad, and we were talking about the Ravi Zacharias book, and I was trying to explain to him, you know, what it was about Christ. And dad's like, how could you believe that though? And then it just hit me. It's like, oh, it's just by faith. It's really just faith. You know, I just believe it. I know it. It's by faith. And it just kind of hit me. And then, so that was kind of a little, you know, a step in the right direction. And then when we got back home, I was in bed one night, and I don't know, it just like this, it was still not 100% clear, but then that night, I don't even remember it clearly enough, but just something clicked, and it just all kind of made, I just had the faith, and I believed it. I knew it. It wasn't unfair anymore, because here I realized all of a sudden there's all these people in America that say they're Christian and they don't know Christ. And so it doesn't even matter that they know the name Christ. They don't really know Christ. And that's all around here in America. And it's almost like it's more unfair to these people here because they have a false belief that they know Christ. So, what happened? So then I came to know Christ, and we had a pool in our backyard, and I got baptized there in our pool. And then we lost everything. We had so much stuff, and we just lost our house, our cars, we had a boat, we had jet skis. We just lost everything. We had nothing. And things were things I can't even talk about right now. just went from bad to worse. But I do remember we had this guy that came, and he emptied our dumpster once a week, and he was Christian, and it was such a blessing, because I was talking to him about being, you know, born again Christian now, and I'm just learning, and he told me all the radio stations to listen to so I could listen to Christian music, and it was such a blessing to talk to him. And so then I started listening to Christian music, and then just started growing, just kept going to the Baptist church, learned a lot at the Baptist church. And then here 15 years later, here I am with you guys. So praise the Lord for that. I hope that's pretty much it. I got 2 minutes left. Any questions?
What's a puja or whatever it's?
Oh, a puja, like they have different days where my mom will set up a bunch of different pictures of the different gods. And she set up a tray of food, and we'll light candles and incense, and we'll all sit down and do prayers to those gods and worship them, and put bindis on their heads and wash them, and just this whole ceremony of worshiping different gods for different blessings that we might want at different times of the year. So
sounds kind of complex.
Yeah, there's a lot of gods. Yeah. Frank calls them what is he? Yeah, he used to go to work at some Indian people's houses, and in their closet they'd have all these gods set up, and he'd call them action figures. Oh, they have their action figures in their closet.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. That's a good testimony. That's a good testimony. Lord, thank you for blessing Vanita to let her come into the know the truth and know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, and walking in newness of life and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and tongues and all these great things that just grow as the more we get to know you and more about, we know all get to know about the kingdom of God. Well, thank you, Lord, for that great testimony that gave us all. Amen. It was a good testimony.
Thank you. Yes, it was a tough thing to go through, but boy, it's worth it.
Well, you know, I think that wraps up the night. It's 10 o'clock here, and I'm going to pass the plate here in a minute. And all right. I'm going to pray us out. Father, thank you for being here. Thank you, Jesus, for being here with us, giving us your presence, giving us your peace and your love, letting us come and glorify your name, praise you for the things you're doing, praise you for the healings you gave us today, praise you for the blessings for overcoming, praise you for allowing us just to come together and love you and pray for others like we prayed for our family members and we prayed for Michael. And we continue to pray for the lost. And we continue to pray for us, for this newness of life, for this great child that's going to be born, this great fruit, that great blessing that you're going to bless us with. So you're just going to magnify us more than we could possibly even imagine. Thank you, Lord, for that blessing. We just put our faith in you for all these things. And we know without a shadow of doubt you're going to do all these things for us. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for faith. And continue to let everybody walk tonight in the newness of life. And tomorrow morning when they get up, and if it's morning already, continue to walk that day in that newness of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, everyone. Well, have a good night, everyone. God bless. And I'm going to stop the recording here.